You are listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
We're studying your book. Last week we've been looking at Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament. He's the final Old Testament prophet. This is a time where God's people have come back from exile. They're a bit lazy. They can't be bothered doing anything. They're falling into this cycle of sin. And God would send this wonderful prophet to wake them up. Now, last week we looked at the first five verses. This morning we're going to read and look at the remainder of chapter 1. Can I just ask, did anyone read chapter 1 during the week? Great, that's more people this week. That's great. Keep reading the Word of God. You want to read God's Word and then come here and hear what I have to say and hear what God has to say. Be challenged with what God is saying, because it's a challenging book. All right? And later on, after my sermon, we're going to have Pastor David from the Philippines. He's going to share with us his story. He's only here for 3 days. All right? And out of all the compassion churches in Perth, he would pick Sun Life Church. I mean, how cool is that? Such favor of God upon this church here. And he's going to share us his story. And I can't wait to hear what God has been doing in his life. And later on, my brother here, Steve, he's going to talk a bit about how we can be part of compassion. And I'm going to believe in a miracle. And I'm going to believe that God is stirring our hearts right now, that this church here, this young church here, this small church here, will partner with compassion and really look after a village in the Philippines. And I'm believing that, and I'm believing that God's going to stretch your capacity. I'm believing that God's going to give you a spirit of generosity. And I'm going to believe that you're going to think beyond the four walls of Sun Life Church. Because it's about love in action. It's about loving the people that God has allowed us to love. People within the four walls and outside the four walls of Sun Life Church. So I'm excited, as always. I'm going to pray, and we'll get straight to the Word of God. Let me pray. Father God, I pray now that you would help me as I open your Word and I share what you've been sharing to me this week for your people. And I pray always that they'll hear you and not me, and that you would speak to them, Lord, clearly, loudly, and that you would inspire us all, me included, to live for your glory always. May our life be a life of worship unto you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For those who know, I'm married with a lovely wife, Tran. She's somewhere at the back, and God has blessed us with 3 beautiful children, 2 boys and a little girl. And a typical conversation at the Nguyen household goes a bit like this. Hey boys, it's time to come in for dinner. And the boys will say, yeah, sure, Dad. And then 5 minutes would go by. Hey boys, it's time to come in for dinner. Come on, it's dinner time. Yeah, sure, Dad. We're coming right away. Okay. And then it's another 5 minutes. And then I would say, Oliver, John, Cameron, Martin, come in right away. It's dinner time. And finally, they'll come in, and we're seated at the dining table, and there's like this heavy burden, like a dark cloud over the dining table for some reason. There's no talking. The prayer, the grace before meal is very, very quick. Thank you for the food, Jesus. Amen. I'm not saying much, Tran is not saying much, and the boys are just casually eating away. Oh, this is nice. Oh, I love the chicken, Mom. Oh, my favorite chicken. Happily eating away. And Tran and I were looking at each other. And then I would say something like this. Hey, boys, if your teacher at school would tell you to come in because it's the end of recess, what do you do? Oh yeah, Daddy, we'll get off the swing, get off the slide, we'll go right in class because we don't want to miss the next period. We'll be there right away. And then I would say, well, you didn't do that with us. And they would say, really? Are you sure, Dad? And I would say, well, I called you. I called you earlier on to come in for dinner and you guys didn't come in. Really, Dad? Are you sure we're here right now? And that's a typical conversation at the Nguyen family. Maybe it's just my family. Maybe you guys can't relate to this. And maybe it's just me. But the text this morning is a conversation between God and the priest and his people. And it's very similar to that. It's very, very similar to that. God would ask them these questions and they would say, "Really? Are you sure? Did we do that?" And that's what I want to unpack with you this morning. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 1, verses 6. And God would say this, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my fear or my honor? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name." And then they would respond, "Have we despised your name?" And God would say, "By offering polluted food upon my altar." And they would say, "Have we polluted you?" And then God would say, "When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire in my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept any offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered in my name, and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profound it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted, and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised." Can you see the conversation? God is talking to the priests and the people. And they're saying, "Really? How did we do that?" And I want to talk about that this morning with you. And as I read this and study this during the week, the theme of this whole section here is talking about a God-glorifying worship. In other words, an authentic worship. And I see 2 points here that I want to unpack with you this morning. That authentic God-glorifying worship is all about the honor of God, and it's all about offerings to God. There are 2 things I want to unpack with you this morning. The honor of God, and what are we offering to God? So let's look at the very first one. Honor. You see, in the text, God would challenge the priests and the people. He would say this, "A son honors a father. If I'm your father, where's my honor? A servant honors or fears his master. If I'm your master, where is my fear? Where is my honor?" Can you see that in the text? "You, O priest, you show contempt." In other words, you despise my name. In other words, you disrespect me. In other words, you don't honor me. You're not honoring me for who I am. And let me propose with you, Sun Life Church, let me suggest this, that there's a direct connection between honor and glory. You see, in the Bible, God's glory is so weighty in the sense that if you were near his presence, you would fear, you would tremble. God's manifestation is so glorious that if you were to be near God, you would shake. There's such power in the presence of God. And we cannot say, "Well, that's the God of the Old Testament." No, that's the God today. God's presence, God's manifestation, is his glory. You know, I say this a lot at Sun Life Church. We don't make God glorious. No, he's already glorious. We just bring glory to God. We can't take away his glory. We can't add his glory. He is already glorious because his presence is glorious. In the Old Testament, do you know that the high priest can only be in the presence of God 1 day in a year? 1 day. The high priest, he has to cleanse himself. He has to repent. He has to make sure that everything is good so that he can go into the temple and be in the presence of this glorious God 1 day in the year. You know, Moses, in Exodus, when he was talking to God, he wanted to see the face of God. He wanted to see God in Exodus 33. Look what God would say. I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. But you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. There's such awe, there is such glory in the presence of God, that when you stand before God, God changes how you behave. God changes the way you relate to Him and others. God's glory is God's honor. You know, previously to being involved with Sun Life Church, I worked a couple years in the Anglican Church. And I remember one of my very first few preaching opportunities, I was preaching before the congregation. I looked down and I realized there were probably half a dozen current and ex-Anglican ministers. And one of them was the ex-bishop of the northwest of WA. So this guy here was the bishop of the northwest of this entire state. And he was one of the lecturers at Moore Theological College in Sydney. And at that point in time, he was one of the New Testament lecturer at Trinity Theological College down the road in Leederville. And here I am, and I'm standing, and I see him, and he's eyeballing me. And I'm going, okay. I'm saying to myself during my sermon, Ben, you better not stuff this up. You know, as I'm preaching, I'm talking to myself, Ben, you better not say the wrong thing. Ben, you better parse your Greek right, because he's going to pick you apart after the sermon. You better get this right. And his presence in the room was so weighty that it made me really nervous. And dare I say, even fearful. And I could imagine God's presence and God's glory should change the way we relate to Him and the people around us. And I would imagine that we really saw that God is so glorious, and the way we respond to Him would bring glory to God. And I would say that Christians, you and I, that we have a responsibility to acknowledge the glory of God in our lifestyle. And when we acknowledge the glory of God in our lifestyle to one another here and the people outside the four walls of church, we bring glory to God. When we acknowledge that God is glorious, we bring honor to God. And I love what Tim was reading. Psalms 29. He didn't see my notes. He didn't know that I was preaching this. But I want to take you to Psalms 29, what you were reading on. Psalms 29, 1 and 2. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. In other words, declare that God is glorious. Ascribe. Let the whole world know that He is a glorious God. And when we do that, Sun Life Church, listen carefully. When we bring glory to God, and when people around us see that God is glorious, that's when we honor God. That's when God looks down and says, wow, they're giving me the honor that I deserve. And I suggest we grow in that area. That God is always glorious. And that means that God is more important in to us than anything that surrounds us. And let me give you three things that you can try, three practical things that you can try at home that would always portray God as being glorious. And when you do those things, I believe you honor God. Here's the first one. God to be above our finances. We put our faith above our finances. We put our master above our money. We don't let money rule us. We don't let money dictate our joy. We say that God, you rule us. And we say that Jesus, you dictate my joy. Because if there's no Jesus, there's no joy. But there's Jesus, there is joy. Money, you have no say. When God is above our finances, and when we're in control of that, that makes God to be glorious. And when your lifestyle is like that, that honors God. Therefore, if you want to give, you can give generously. And later on, we get a chance to do that with compassion. If you want to sponsor, you can sponsor not one, or you can sponsor two or three. Because you're saying, God, you're above my finances. I've said this before. We don't give God 10%. I would rather say God allows us to use 90% of His. And He's holding back 10%. And at Sun Life Church, I've preached before that I don't tell you how much you should give, how much you ought to give. I say you give what you want to give. But keep in mind that what you're giving is actually not yours, it's actually the Lord's. Therefore, you're not giving God anything. God is giving you probably 90% to use, and he's holding back 10. And for some of you, I know, you're probably saying, God, thank you, I only need 80%. Praise God. Praise God for that. So we glorify God by putting God above our finances. Here's the next thing. Put God above your future. Sometimes we think too much about the future. We're planning about our future, our career move, our retirement. We're forgetting that God ultimately is our future. We put this world here first instead of putting eternity first. That in eternity future, you and I will spend time with God forevermore. That's where we're going. That is our future. So whatever life throws at us, we're not worried. We're not worried. Because we don't put all our eggs in this thing called world. There's a wonderful passage in the Gospel, Matthew 6, and Jesus would say, look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are not more value than them. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? Don't worry. For some of you, I know, for some of you here, you're not quite sure what's around the corner. I know for some of you, around the corner may be a bit scary. But I want you to hear from me. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't put your future above God. Put God above your future. Trust in God. And a lifestyle like that, a courageous lifestyle like that, I might not know what's around the corner. I don't know whether I'll get past this illness. I don't know whether I'll pay the next bill that comes around. But I know that God still loves me. And I'm going to put my focus upon Him. I'm going to put Him above my future. That brings glory to God. That honors God. Put God above your family. Listen carefully, Sun Life Church. I have a family. I love my family. But let's make this very, very clear. And I've said this to you before. That number one, I'm always God's son. Number one, He's my Father. He would save me. I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God. Number two, I'm Tran's husband. Number three, I'm the father to my children. Not the other way around. If I'm father to children first and I'm then husband to my wife, that's how you mess up a marriage. I've got to make sure that my relationship with my wife is good. And then my children will benefit from that. And here's number four, I'm your pastor. Which means if I have to pick between my family and you, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Okay? So if you want me to come to your house for a crisis meeting, that's fine. But if my family wants me or needs me, it's my family first. But, listen carefully. But at the very top of that, God is my Father. Therefore, I want God to be the center of my family and not my family to be the center of God. In other words, everything I want to do to my family, I want it to go through God. I want to hear from God. I want to ask God, God, should I invest there? God, should I move there? God, should I buy that house? God, should I send my children to school there? God, how much should I give? God, I want it to go through God because God is at the center of my family and not the other way around. In other words, I don't use my family to use God. Let me explain what that means. Use your family to use God. In other words, well, God, the excuse is I can't serve because of my family. The excuse is, God, I can't attend that because we're going away. No. That's wrong. You want to go through God and say, God, should I attend that? God, should I not go away and be here? That's what you want. Because when God is above your family, what you're saying is, God, you're the center, and every decision making in my household, I want to go through the center, which is you. And when you do that, you bring glory to God, you honor God. And when people see that in us, wow, there's something different about you. There's something different about me. That person is not running around like a headless chook, not quite sure what's around the corner. Wow, what's going on? Oh, that person's so generous. They might not have much, but they're so generous. What's going on? Well, that person there is always praying, always asking God for His will. What's going on? You know what's going on? Because you're bringing glory to God, and that honors God. When you do that, Sun Life Church, that's authentic God-glorifying worship. I'm not talking about a song. That's great. But if your lifestyle is one where you're saying, God, I want to bring honor to you always, Sun Life Church, that is worship. Number two, offerings. In the area of authentic God-glorifying worship, now God deals with the area of offerings. Look in verse 8. But when you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present it to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts. What are the people doing? They're offering God all these sick, lame, crippled, three-legged sheep with a missing eye, scabby animal. And God is saying, you don't do that. Because in the Old Testament, God's demand is that when you offer God something, it's got to be the best. You find the best sheep. You find the best bull. You make sure it's got four legs. You make sure it's got two eyes. You make sure that there's nothing, there's no blemishes on it. You make sure it's perfect because that's what God demands. But they're not doing that. And to make matters even worse, the priests, check this out, the priests were just accepting anything and saying, oh, that'll do. I know that that's not the ideal animal, but I'll take it anyway. As long as we got something for God, that will do. And that's God's priests. They should know better. They should know better. But no, no. They just want to offer God anything. Anything. And I guess you and I, Sun Life Church, we would not give something to someone that we love knowing that it will fall apart or break in a matter of weeks. Oh, you know what? You found out the pastor Ben, he needs a rice cooker. He's put on Facebook that desperately needing rice, no rice cooker, hashtag someone help. And you realize there's a rice cooker in your shed for Pastor Ben. But you know it's not working. It looks like one. It's got the pot, it's got the cable, it's even got the lid. Hey, Pastor Ben, I heard that you need a rice cooker. I've got something for you. Come to my place and grab it. It's in the shed somewhere. And I rock up and I get this nice rice cooker. It's got the lid. It's round. It's got the little whatever it is. Whatever's in the inside. It's got a cord. Would you do that to me? I don't think you would. You've got an important guest coming to your house, staying at your place. Someone, I don't know, someone you love or respect. Picture someone. They decide to stay at your house. You know they love wine. You don't go to the local liquor land and buy, hey, is there any special, anything cheap for around 10 bucks? I don't think you'd do that. I'm pretty sure you'd probably call around, ask people, hey, what's a nice spot of wine? What can I buy? Because I want to give this person something nice to drink. You see, in the text, God would say, present your offerings to your governor. Will he accept it? Will he show you favor? You go and present that to your governor. Will he say yes to that? It's rhetorical. He'll say no. It's because when you do that, you're not loving your governor. You're not showing respect to your governor. You're not honoring your governor. If you would not do that for an earthly ruler, why are you doing that for the heavenly ruler? That's what God is saying. Why? It's got to cost you. It's got to cost you. You know your pastor needs a rice cooker. If you love him, you're going to buy it. It's going to cost you. You know someone staying in your house who loves a nice bottle of wine? You're going to spend money. It's going to cost you. And if it doesn't matter to you, it's not going to matter to God. That's what I say. What you're offering God, your worship to God, if it doesn't really matter to you, it's not really going to matter to God. If it costs you something and it really matters to you, then it matters to God. In the text, God will say, I don't want your offerings. I don't want it. Look in verse 10. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not accept any offering from your hand. Can you see that? And here's the reason why. Because what God is saying is this, is that what you offer me is an indication of my worth to you. If you think that I'm no one, give me nothing. But if you think that I'm great, give me something great. That's why, if you look carefully in verses 11 and 12, he would say this, from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nation. You see that? My name will be great. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord. What God is saying is this, that I am a great God and I want you to know that I'm great and I want your lifestyle to portray to the people around you that I am great. But what you're giving me does not portray that I'm great. What you're giving me is saying that I'm cheap. What you're giving me is saying that I'm worthless. What you're giving me is saying that I'm no one. What you're giving me is saying that I'm even less than your governor. I am to be great among the nation. Therefore, what you offer me is an indication of how great I am. Wake up, people. That's what God is doing right there. Can you see that in the text? So let me give you a few things that you can think of. Your talents. What are you offering God today? Because offering is giving God something. What are you giving God today? When you're serving God here, what is your attitude in service? Are you giving God your very all? Or you're only giving God your second best? Are you really giving God everything because he deserves everything because he's so good? Or you're only giving God what you think he's worth, which is not much? I mean, to my Connect Group leaders, I would imagine God wants us to be praying over the text, praying over the discussion, praying for our people, and not flick through the sermon summary half an hour before the gathering. Is that right? For the musicians, I thank God for you. But I would imagine God wants us to be making an effort to learn the songs and really pray to God and say, God, what do you want me to lead and how do you want me to lead? And really know what we're doing here and not rock up on Sunday and just go, what are we playing again? What chords are we playing in? Is that right? I mean, for the Sun Life Kids people, I would imagine God wants us to be, prayerfully considering how best to teach the gospel to our little ones. That we're seeing, God, what is the best way to communicate your love to them? Really pray over the lesson. Really pray for our children and not rock up and say, oh, am I on roster this morning? Are you with me? Whatever service you're involved, I'm praying that you keep this message close to you because what you offer is an indication of how great God is. If God is that big, then you probably offer that much. But if God is so great among the nations, you would offer God so much more. But then you might say, well, Pastor Ben, you missed out. I'm not serving. I'm not giving anything. It's got nothing to do with me. You're right. Maybe there's a sermon there somewhere in Malachi about serving. And that's for another day. But can I suggest and say this? That your presence here on a Sunday morning, your presence here on a Sunday morning is an offering to God. That you coming here is a sacrifice to God. That you being here every Sunday morning, you have to think about this, is me standing before God on the altar. My presence is my offer to God. Do you know Sun Life Church, we've got two services? We've got two services, right? We've got the service with worship and the service without worship. There's the one that starts at 10 o'clock and the one that starts around probably quarter past 10, 10:20. All right? I see half of you in the first service and the remaining half in the second service. You know where I'm going, right? I get it. Some of you have issues at home because the kids are playing up and you can't get here in time. And I get that. Some of you've had a huge Saturday night and you're partying and you got home at 5 a.m. and you can't get up. And I get that. And some of you're pressing the snooze button too many times on Sunday morning and you wake up late and I get that. I get all that. But what I don't get is this. Is that we'll never come late to an important meeting. If it's a job interview, if it's a medical procedure, if we're meeting someone important, the Queen, the Prime Minister, we won't be late. We make an effort to set the alarm maybe half an hour earlier. We want to, search that venue to make sure there's plenty of parking bays and get there and find a parking bay. And we make sure we come early to these important meetings. And we know it's going to cost us 30 minutes of sleep time that we could be in our bed. We know it's going to cost us because we're going to spend the time Googling and look at Google Maps to see if there's any parking bays near the place. We know it's going to cost us. But God is saying, if you would do that for others, what about me? If you would not be late for those people, why would you come late for me? Am I making sense? And I'm not having a go at you because I love you. I'm preaching you just I'm preaching myself. Because I will confess that sometimes I will put the extra effort to make sure that I'm not late for a medical procedure. Because if I've got an operation or something, I make sure that I know what day I set the alarm and I'm waking up early. And I don't care if the surgeon wants to see me at 6 a.m. in the morning. I'm not going to say, no, that's too early. If it's 6, it's going to be 6. And sometimes here it's like 10 o'clock start. And we still come late. What are we offering God? Is God really that great? Or God is that small? And don't shoot me. It's the Word of God. All right? And don't say, oh, I came here and pastors just smashed me. It's not my intention. It's the Word of God. And I can't twist that and I can't make that into a whatever. I'm just preaching what God is saying right there. So my two take for you this morning, Sun Life Church, is this. Authentic, God-glorifying worship is about the honor of God. Honor God in your lifestyle. All right? The way you bring glory to Him, being above your finances, being above your future, being above your family, all that will bring glory to God, and that honors God. And it's about your offerings to God. What are you offering God with your time and your talents? What are you doing? And if you do that, I believe that's authentic God-glorifying worship. And that's what God expects of the people in the Old Testament, and that's what God expects of you and I today. Is that okay? Let me pray for you, and then I'm going to welcome my compassion brothers on stage. Father God, thank you so much for your Word. Your Word is so great. God, you're speaking to us. You're saying things that we need to hear. You are a God that is so great. You deserve so much more. And God, I confess and I repent that sometimes I don't give you what you deserve. And I'm so sorry. And I'm praying for this church that we as a community will always bring glory to you. Always honor you. Always offer you our very best. Our time, our treasures, our talents. May we offer you our very, very best. You deserve it, God. Your name is to be great. Great among the nation, beyond the borders of Israel. Thank you, God. Lord, whatever you're speaking to us, speak to us right now. Sun Life Church, I just sense in my spirit that God is doing a redeeming work inside of your hearts right now. If some of you struggle with what I've just preached, God loves you. God is a redeeming God. God is a restoring God. God is restoring something inside of you. So keep trusting God. If you know that, yep, Pastor, you're talking to me. Well, God is talking to you, not me. Then say to God, God, I need you to help me. I want to bring glory to you. I want the world to know that you're glorious. I want everyone in my company, at my workplace, at the school, at the shops. I want people to look at me and say, wow, that guy there is always talking about God. You're honoring God. And that's authentic God-glorifying worship. And Sun Life Church, if you are serving God right now, or you're not serving God at all, and you want to serve God, God wants you to give Him your very all. People see it. I see it. God sees it. Give God your very all. And as you do that, I believe with all my heart, wow, that is worship. And on the area of lateness, come on time. Give God the glory He deserves. We start at 10 o'clock. There will be a day we'll have two services, 9 and 11. You take your pick, but come on time. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. God is working your hearts right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.